1 Samuel introduces us to some people that have impacted our culture, probably without people knowing it. Different names come from the Bible, and we run with them. And if we seek long enough, we know that God's pursuing us by the different things that happen in the Bible. David and Goliath, you have the little guy versus the big guy. That's referred to in popular culture all the time. The Philistine champion was called Goliath, and he really goes against God himself. So the battle's not just big Goliath versus little David. It's unbelief and sin versus the battle is the Lord's. So we're thankful for that. Yeah, you have the name Ebenezer in the book of 1 Samuel, meaning the stone of the Lord, the stone of help, and points us to Jesus being a safe place in a very rough world. So if you need a safe place, lean on him. He's your Ebenezer. We see the person Ichabod in the 1 Samuel. Ichabod made it to the legend of Sleepy Hollow in the Ichabod Crane character. But in the Bible, Ichabod was a sad story about a child named that, saying the glory has departed. And when the warning is when we turn away from God, the goodness of life or seeing God in all his goodness, we can't see that. It goes away from us. So some good things the Lord impacts everybody with in the culture from his word. Also the lost Ark of the Covenant. And the old movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, in the book it's much more dramatic versus the movie. The Bible better than the movie by far. And the Ark of the Covenant representing the presence of God. And the message is, who can stand in the presence of God without God's help? Okay. And when the Ark of the Covenant would be taken by the enemy, all the enemy would have big problems. And they put it next to one of their gods, and the gods fell. One god fell over like a statue, put it there again, and they came back, and it was over, and the arms and hands were off or something like that. And then when it went back to God's people, Samuel, after a while, he prayed. He said, we have sinned against the Lord. And so it's an opportunity to repent when we know we're in God's presence. And that's always a healthy thing to do, to repent. You know, we're afraid sometimes of repentance. Oh, that's going to be so painful. It's so painful not to repent. And then when we turn to God, you know, we find him with so great welcome arms, and angels rejoice. So the people who repent the most in the Bible are believers. They're the ones who repent the most. And that's part of our calling in life. So what God does with these people, the Ark of the Covenant and David and Goliath in particular this morning, what happened between the Lord and David and Goliath? Almost everything's against David when he faced what he faced in life. He had no great weapons to go against the enemy with. He wasn't very impressive. He's, you know, what am I, a dog that you come after me like this, said the giant. And David was youngest of the family. He was a pain in the neck to his brothers. If you're a pain in the neck to your brothers and sisters, that's okay. God can work with you and do good things through you. And the king's armor, Saul's armor, was given to David, but it didn't really fit David. It was too big. And so even the responsibility David had, he was just a little bit encumbered by the whole thing. And what God calls you to in life? To follow him, to do a job, to be a spouse, to be a mom or dad. You say, this just doesn't fit me, you know. I don't know. I feel like I'm all thumbs. Just follow the Lord. He'll bring something good from your life that you offer to him. And so David doesn't rely on his training, strategy, or vision. He doesn't say to Goliath, as one preacher said, I know karate and I took Pilates. So I'm going to take this giant down. But he trusted God. He knew the battle was the Lord's. David takes a stone, slings it at the giant, and we know what happens. But Goliath is very different. He says, this day I defy Israel. Goliath cursed David. And sometimes we get real nervous about the evil in the world, you know. In some third world countries, there's things like curses put upon you. Or what if his power is like after you? That's not going to be like a curse, you know. Don't you think that'll hurt you? Goliath cursed David by his gods and had no effect. You know, we know from other stories in the Old Testament, when somebody tried to curse God's people, that they couldn't do it. God's protection was upon them. The donkey had to speak and say, "I'm not cursing God's people. Are you crazy?" Okay, he wasn't going to go to do that. And so you see God's power over anything that's evil or against God when Goliath does his thing. Goliath boasts about himself. That's a dangerous thing to do. And sometimes we secretly want to be Goliath. You know, who of us wouldn't want to be the biggest, the strongest, the toughest, the one who knows how to fight the best? I'll give it a try, you know. That's not the way. And it's a sinful way. When we do that, we represent ourselves in a sinful manner. Even when the goodness of God is with us, you don't kind of want that as your own and say, "Well, we are the best. We are the wisest. We are the strongest." No, I want to say that God is that way. Okay, He's that way for us. We're glad about that. And Jeremiah warns us, don't boast in your strength. Don't boast in your wealth. Don't boast in your wisdom. If you want to boast, boast about the Lord. So there's Goliath, much different than David. Paul understood not to boast about anything. He said, "I have a lot of religion, but I count it all as garbage. I want to know Christ." And it's a good check on your soul and my soul. We say, well, what are we relying on for peace with God? What are we relying on to have a life that has some direction and wisdom to it? No, it's not our religious practice. It's the Lord, you see, that does that for us. And we put into practice His grace and mercy. So David boasts in the Lord. He says to Goliath, "You come against me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." And he says, "This day the Lord will hand you over to me." So David knew it was going to be the Lord to win, not David to win. The Lord will hand you over to me. And he says something great, so that everybody here will know the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's. I think that could be said about your life as somebody who believes in Christ, somebody who knows you. Your family says, "Oh, there goes, you know, Uncle Joe and or Aunt Minnie." And hey, when I see her life, I know the Lord saves. I know the Lord helps people. And so this is what David said, that the battle that he would face, the results would be, people would say, "Hey, the battle is the Lord. The Lord saves." So that's true for your battles and my battles. It's the Lord who's going to battle. And we're called to come follow Him or be by His side and watch Him fight on behalf of His loved ones. In Sunday school, we mentioned that the Lord takes the place of a big brother in our lives. Lord of all, Savior. But He says, He's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. So if somebody picks on you, He will come and help. You know, He's strong on your behalf. The Lord is your shield. His word is your sword. And I like the song we sing, "When your enemy presses in hard like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend. Your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord." And we sing, "Glory, honor, power, and strength belong to the Lord." And so David and Goliath, not just a story about a little guy and a big guy. God's battle, the Lord fighting evil. Just like David stood for the people, Jesus would stand for us and say, would say, let me conquer for you the most intimidating thing in your life. For some it would be our own sin. For some it would be the trials that are around us. You know, some limitation we have. Hey, this is God's opportunity to shine. And shine he does. And so David knocks out Goliath in the first round of the battle. And really, Jesus knocked out sin, death, and hell in the first round of history. Okay. If history has eternal life in it, or if it's everlasting life, we would have to say, if that's a long time, it certainly is, that the time that we've known history so far is really the first round of history. Right? Compared to eternity. A million years from now, you and I, for example, we'll look back at how long did it take between Jesus' first coming and second coming? A million years into the future. How long was that? Well, I don't know. It seems really short now. Right? It was pretty fast between his first coming and his second coming in terms of God's perspective. From everlasting to everlasting, he's God. I went outside at home and came back in the house with 10 or 12 little black beetle bugs on me. Those little things that are just running around here for a while. And I asked somebody, well, how long are they going to be here? Oh, just about a month and that's it. Well, not much of a life, you know. Just about a month and that's it. That's our perspective on time. We measure everything by clocks and calendars, kind of egocentric, limited way. But from God's point of view, our lives, compared to my perspective on the little bug, God's perspective on my life is even shorter. It's like a morning cloud. It was foggy this morning, not foggy anymore. And, we can know God for all eternity. So when things get difficult, to know, okay, well, God, the battle's God's. He will help us in this short time honor him. Knock out the enemy in the first round. You think of somebody like Johnny Erickson Tata, how she perseveres in the battle in a wheelchair, paralyzed for 50 years. Seems like a long time. But in terms of everlasting life, she'll be rejoicing so much, so many more days and years to honor God. So to see God work through David to defeat Goliath, through you and me to defeat the enemies in our own lives. One Scottish professor said this about King David. He compared David to Jesus fighting our battles and said this. Now, Goliath was the enemy, of course. The self-confident boasting of the giant Goliath and his disrespect for God is always the attitude that opposes Jesus. So if we have a disrespect for God or self-confident boasting, that would push the Lord away. The contempt shown for David has its parallel in the world's contempt for Christ. And we could see this, you know, just a real turning from him. But we preach Christ, him crucified, risen, foolishness to the alleged intelligence and power of the world and its giant ego. Okay? God is so much better. And so we honor him. So David doesn't fight for himself alone. He fights for the whole nation. And when he wins, everybody celebrates the victory. And Christ doesn't fight just for himself. He fights for all of us. He faces the sins and problems that you and I have. And he rises from the dead. He sends us his spirit. And he says, rejoice. You know, there was a defeated one, but I've found that one. Now they're with me forevermore. Goliath represents sin, death, and hell. David represents God's anointed, smashes the enemy. And so we're more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. I thought of an example of being with Christ and being him being our representative. Kind of like when you get married, the two become one. And so what is in my name, okay, clothes, and checking, and car, house, that also is in my wife's name. What is mine is hers. 100%. There's no distinguishing that. And so when Christ comes to us and we receive Him, what is His is ours. 100%. No distinguishing that. We get to celebrate His goodness, His victory, His faithfulness, and what is ours becomes His at the cross. Our pain, our sin, our fears and failures. He says, I'll take them on as His battles. So the battle is the Lord's. Charles Spurgeon, in closing, says this about following the Lord. He says, as you fight sin in your soul or on the street, remember you're in God's battle. Unless God can be conquered, you need never fear defeat. Don't flinch when wounded or when facing death. Jesus has risen. The battle is the Lord's. So with sure feet and strong hands and a heart of confidence, run to the conflict and watch God defeat the enemy. And might we know Him that way as we walk with Him, because we do face Goliaths, sometimes bigger than this 9-foot Philistine. Might be a sin of our own soul or the sin in the street. But the battle is the Lord's. So it's a privilege to fight alongside the Son of God. He is our champion. So give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. And be at His table as He invites you. And be nourished in friendship and fellowship with Him. Let's pray together.